Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
What up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
Yeah. If you know, you know. If you know, you know.
Hey, Ball Hawk, cut the song, man. Cut the song. Why are we playing all the intro song? We got to get right to it, okay? We got to get right to it. Ain't no introduction. This Petty Hawk, I'm taking over early. Early. We lost 49-13, Ball Hawk. We don't need no introductions. We don't need no what up, none of that. None of the thinking of the sponsors. Hold on, dog. Ho. You got to thank the sponsors first. I ain't thanking nobody. They better be thanking me that I'm on the mic right now and I'm blessing them with my presence because I am the Petty God, Petty Hawk. Number one, numero el uno. Number one petty person ever on this X app. You mean Twitter? It's called X. It's the X app. We throwing up the X like we... what's his name for the Cowboys? Dez Bryant. Yeah, him. But you know he took that from Dante Hall. Oh yeah, the human joystick, baby. Throw the X up for Dante Hall. The X app. Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Petty Hawk and his pettiness gear. Get your pettiness gear at the store. Now, on to you, Ball Hawk. Welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. I'm your host, Amaya Hawkins. Appreciate you for taking time out today to listen to the latest. What I just say, we're not doing that. Bruh, how you going to interrupt me in the middle of my intro? Because I can. I am the petty one. We lost. Why are you doing intros? They don't want to hear it. They want you to get right to who to blame. Who we blaming for this loss, Ball Hawk? Who? Man, you got to take steps. No, it's like, no, we're not waiting to the middle of the episode. We're not waiting to close to the end of the episode to get to the good stuff. We are the Ball Hawk Show. We get right to it. This the new year. This is 23. This is Michael Jordan. We coming out. We scoring 30-something against the Trailblazers and shooting threes. Why wait? So, can I do the intro? And then you get into what they want to. I'm going to let you talk about what the people want to hear early. But can I at least like finish the intro? Shout out the sponsor. Play our, you know, hype or the track we usually play. You know, we usually play some music. I don't want to hear none of that. Okay? You ain't no DJ. You ain't Kid Capri. You think you can spin records? You ain't even got no records. You planning on this iPhone. Where are your records if you are a DJ? Until you get records, Ball Hawk, you can't play no more music. You think you're a DJ? You ain't no DJ. I'm a DJ. I got records. Where your records at? Don't worry about all that. I got them. But we Like, you're me. So if I don't got records, you don't got. I am not you. Okay? I am me. Now, finish your intro, and then I'm going to take over first because they want to hear me. Because we don't want people to cut the show off after about 3 minutes. You know people got ADD, ADHD, all the D's. They got all of them. All right. So welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the Ball Hawk Show podcast, courtesy of Believe Network. And once it uploads to Believe, if you got Apple iTunes, you got Spotify, any podcast platform, it's there. But salute to Believe Network. Also, salute to my sponsor, Abra Insurance. Go to Abra Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. The great people at Abra. Service in the state of Virginia for over 20 years. What else before Petty Hawk takes over? Because he wants to change it up this year. This is year 2023. This is our first recap of UVA football as they played Tennessee yesterday in front of 69,507 people, and they lost by a score of 49-13. We all came into this game thinking that we probably would not be victorious, but it's some things that we saw that were good. It was some things we saw that were bad, and then it's some things that we got to really talk about that Petty Hawk wants to talk about. Petty Hawk, is it okay if I play some little dirt right now so we can get our minds right? No. You're not playing no music right now until you going to get in your segment. So I'm going to get right to it. Can I? Hold on. Before you start, can I break down the numbers? Yeah, you can break down the numbers. Go ahead and break down the numbers. All right. So if this is your first time tuning in, if you are a Tennessee fan and you're coming back to see how we recap the game and what I say about your program, what I say about my program, appreciate you for coming back and listening to the recap. So what we do is we give you numbers at the beginning. We give you some stats, offensive, defensive, team stats, individual stats. Then we go to the analysis, and we're pretty probably a start with offense today, right, Petty Hawk? You damn Skippy. We might not make it to defense after I'm done, because once I finish with the mic, I'm dropping it and it's going to break. And you're going to have to end the podcast because I'm ready to. I'm on fire today, baby. Woo. Like Ric Flair. Go ahead, Ball Hawk. You can finish. Appreciate that, Petty Hawk. So here we go, man. Some stats from yesterday's game. Team stats. Let's look at that first. Tennessee had 29 first downs. UVA had 12 first downs. Rushing yards, net rushing yards. Tennessee had 287 rushing yards. UVA had 95. Tennessee ran the ball 52 times. UVA had 40 rushing attempts. They averaged 5.5 rushes, 5.5 yards per rush. UVA averaged 2.4 yards per rush. Passing, Tennessee 212 on 33 attempts. UVA 106 on 24 attempts. They average 6.4 yards an attempt. We average 4.4 yards an attempt. They average 9.2 yards per completion. UVA averaged 9.6 yards per completion. Total offense, they had 499. We had 201. They ran 85 plays, and I believe 51 of those 85 plays were in the first half, and we ran 64 plays. They averaged 5.9 yards per play. We averaged 3.1 yards per play. UVA did not have any turnovers. Okay. Petty Hawk didn't like that. Tennessee had the lone turnover of the game, a fumble loss. Penalties, UVA had 2 penalties. Tennessee had 4, so it was pretty much a clean game for both teams. 2 penalties, 4 penalties. I bet you both coaches like they like that. Any more stats that we want to go over that you guys may want to hear? Time of possession, yes. UVA, fun stat, UVA had the ball longer. 32 minutes, 54 seconds. Tennessee had the ball 27 minutes, 6 seconds. And before the fourth quarter, UVA won the time of possession every quarter. So, you know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's because it's the fourth quarter. Tennessee was trying to score. UVA was running, you know, grinding the clock out. Quarter by quarter, UVA had the ball 7 minutes, 48 seconds to 7-12 for Tennessee. Second quarter, 7-37 to 7-23 for Tennessee. Third quarter, 7-55 for 7 versus 7-05 for Tennessee. Third down conversions, UVA was 5 of 18, and Tennessee was 5 of 13. Tennessee was 2 of 3 on fourth downs. UVA was 0 for 1, and Tennessee was 7 of 7 in the red zone with 7 touchdowns. UVA was 2 of 3 in the red zone with 1 touchdown. So, we had one team sack. They had 4 team sacks. It was 2 of 3 on field goals. Individual, Stevie Bracy led us in tackles. He had 10 tackles. Cameron Butler had 8 tackles, all solo tackles. Langston Long had 8 tackles, 1 pass. That pass breakup should have been a damn pick. Lex, I need that, Lex. I need that pick. Jonas Sanker had 7 tackles, 2 pass breakups. James Jackson had 5 tackles. Cohen King, 4. Deada, 4. Smiley, 3. And a pass breakup. OA had a sack and a fumble recovery and a freak accident on the sideline. He had a, like a Grammatica type injury, just celebrating, and then his knees or something. So we ain't got a word on that. So hopefully everything is good with OA, man. So any OA had the only tackle for a loss too. I want to say Cam got to the quarterback first and then OA cleaned him up, but it gave everything to OA, the tackle and the tackle for loss on that play. I know Cam like, damn, I thought that was my zone. Let me get that, please. Elijah Herron led them. Damn, their leading tackler had 5 tackles. That let you know they were swarming to the rock. He had 5 tackles. Walker had 4. They had 2 different dudes with 2 sacks. Pierce Jr. had 2 sacks, and then Barron had 2 sacks. Barron is the dude that injured Tony Musket. He had 2.5 tackles for a loss. They had 11 tackles in the backfield. 11 tackles for a loss to our 1. That's what you call living on the other guy's reservation, staying in the backfield. You know, hey, you need to hurry up. I'm ready to talk offense. I'm ready to talk offense coordinators. I'm ready to talk the X app and the coaches on the X app. Okay. Can you hurry this up, Ball Hawk? Gracias. All right, Petty Hawk, great day. That's about it, man, for just an individual. Oh, we got to talk about individual stats. Who led us in rushing? Paris Jones led us in rushing with Kobe Pace. Both had 7 carries, 39 yards. Both had exactly the same amount of carries, same amount of yards. Paris Jones had the touchdown. Ahmad Folston had 3 carries, 18 yards. Calandria had 2 carries for 17 yards. My man G34, 6 carries, 15 yards in that fourth quarter. Give my man G34 some carries, baby. Early in the game, you need short yardage, put G34 in the game. Okay? That's the new understanding. If you need short yards, G34 go. That's the name of the personnel. G34 go. Go in there. Mike Hollins had 3 carries for -7. Did he get sacked or something? Dang. Jeez Louise. That's a setup. And then Musket had -23 because of the sacks. Musket was 9 of 17, 94 yards, a long of 30. And then AC came in, was 2 of 7 for 12 yards. One of them was a flip to Sadarian Harrison. That was 11 yards on just that flip pass, the shovel pass. Malachi led us in receiving on 8 targets, had 4 receptions, 63 yards. Malik Wilt. Washington, I'm about to call him Williams. Malik Washington, 7 targets, 4 catches, 29 yards. I said Sadarian had his catch, for 11 yards. They gave him 13 yak because he caught it in the backfield. Mike had one catch for 2 yards. Ahmad had one catch for 1 yard. Squirrel White led Tennessee. 6 catches, 45 yards. Hold on, man. It's too quiet. We need some background music. We need some Drizzo go crazy. Instrumental music or something. Hold on. Drizzo going there we go. Crazy. There we go. Yeah, so Squirrel White led them receiving. Like I said, Milton only had 201 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was 21 of 30. Jalen Wright had 115 yards rushing to lead Tennessee. He averaged 9.6 yards a rush. God, dog, man, they really could have just ran it all day versus us, in my opinion. They had a spread out, and I'm gonna get into what they. All right, my turn. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is Petty Hawk here, and we about to get to the good stuff. All right, he took too long. How many minutes we've been recording? It's almost 15 minutes, and you bumping your gums. You know what they want to talk about? We talking about the offense and what they did and didn't do. Ball Hawk, can I do the analysis? Can I break down every play? I mean, if you want to, like, are you really going to break down the play or are you just going to rant? I'm just going to rant. Well, let me break down the play and then you rant. Is that okay? Yes, I like that idea. All right, so what we're going to do, this offensive segment, right at close to this is the 15 minute. Let me make sure so I can have some time stamps for the people. 15 minute mark, go. Here we are, offensive segment. We're going to break down a review. Let's review like the first 10 plays. And then I got some plays that I pulled to the side that I want to discuss. And then we may talk about like the first drive out of halftime. And then you can rant when you want to rant. Is that okay with you, Petty Hawk? Yes. That's exactly what I wanted to do. So thank you. All right, here we go. First play of the game. I say first play of the game. Start film. There we go. Ball on the 25-yard line. Play one. We come out. We come out trips to the field. 2 receivers to the boundary, so we're empty. All right. They bring in 4. And they almost get home. They almost beat our right tackle with an inside move. He's beat. I mean, he is beat. And Tony is looking at Washington, who's running a mesh route. Just a quick slant from the slot. Backer does a good job getting his hands on Malik and breaks up the pass. So first play, empty set, quick game. And even in the quick game, Tony Musket almost got sacked. He pretty much face masked the defender too to make sure Tony didn't get hit. Second play, on our own 25. They're showing a 4-man front yet again. They got somebody walking up in the B gap. He backs up. We got motion across the formation to the boundary. Now we got 2 receivers to the boundary. Tight end and receiver to the top. But the tight end is on the line of scrimmage. So we got 6 guys in the offensive line versus their 4. Let's see what happens. Check, check, check at the line of scrimmage. Check, check, check. We see something. We see something. Check, check, check. Tight end release. They send in 4 again. Good pocket. We kind of beat to the outside, but Tony climbs the pocket. He slides up. 1-on-1 down here with Malachi in the corner. Good try. Good play by the DB. Malachi had his hands on it, but the DB ripped it out. But good throw by Tony. Good sight adjustment. Anyway, protection adjustment. But yeah, Tennessee only sending 4. Try to take a shot. Catchable ball, but good play by the DB. 3rd and 10. So these first 3 plays, we threw the ball. I'm just going to let y'all know now if you ain't watched the game. Now we motioning to the field. We're going to have trips to the field. We got Sackett Wood. He's the slot to the field. I think that's D'Amik at the top. Then we got Malachi to the boundary. We got the back to the field. So we got all our 4 receiving threats to the field with the motion coming. The motion, they bump out, bump out, bump out. You see their safeties making a check. They showing a two safety high look. We throw a quick screen to Washington to the field. Man on man block. Man on man block. Two man's on. Hold on. We got two people blocking the linebacker. And he won. He split him. But he didn't make the tackle though. But he still split two dudes. Because if one guy can control him, the next guy can go up to the safety who's not blocked and makes a good open field tackle on Malik. So three plays, three passes, three and out for the offense. What do you think, Petty Hawk? Why we ain't running the ball? Run the ball. You out here throwing it around like you got Joe Montana or something. Hey, man, chill out, man. Don't do that. I'm just saying, why we ain't running the ball? Well, let's see if we run the ball the second series. Is that okay? Yeah, let's watch that. All right, next series. So we came out mostly four wide. This time we got a trips bunch to the field. We got basically two tight ends. We got Grandin, we got Sackett Wood, and then we got Malik. So we got a bunch set with Grant being the point. Back is offset to the boundary. And Malachi's by himself to the boundary. To the boundary. Now we got a orbit where the back resets and he's to the trip side. Oh, what we got? We got a fake stretch to the boundary. Quick pass to the field, to the bunch. And one guy just destroys the play. Good play call. Tennessee just was too good. I like the play design. Flow away. Get the eyes on the linebackers to go with Paris. And the linebacker didn't go. Immediately he ran to Malik. Like most linebackers would come up the field, like would at least shuffle to the flow and then retract. This joker came right to Malik. It's almost like, damn, we should have gave the ball to Paris. Yeah. So let's go to the next play because it's getting too quiet. Because Petty Hawk ready to rant. Play five. Trips again. So play five. This is play five. We basically got two tight ends in. Sackett Wood is the third, is number three in trips to the field. You got Malik Washington outside of him, if I'm not mistaken. And then you got Malachi all the way out close to the sideline. And we already have an H-back by our right tackle. So the second series, we already identifying that it might be a long day for our right tackle. A lot of folks didn't think that Dez was identifying and trying to make adjustments to certain situations. So this is play five, and we already putting a H-back beside our right tackle. Because I told you the first play of the game, he got beat. Quick. And it was a quick game throw and he got beat. I ain't gonna say no names. I just say gonna say right tackle. It's a run play. Oh my God. We got them outnumbered. We run stretch to the boundary. And when I tell you one dude destroyed the play, we got them outnumbered to the boundary. Let me run the play. Grant comes, he resets to the boundary as an H-back. So they have a corner that's coming up because it's a tight side. So to that side of the ball, they have 1, 2, 3 that's in the box on the right side of the ball. They got three guys. We got three guys. And if you count the center who actually going to be stretching that play, we got four guys essentially. Hit the play. Now freeze it. Now we reaching. Reach, 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 reach. Good job by the center. He snapped the ball. He reaching. We got him outnumbered now. 4-3. 4-3. Now go. What's going to happen? God dang on. Their D tackle destroys the damn play. That's actually number 9. gets a nice push. He in the backfield. He made Paris have to retreat. Oh my God. When I tell you he got a push, man, listen, he been lifting a lot of weights. Boy, good God. Good play to sign. They just out executed us. 3rd and 9. Ball on the 28. Oh yeah, that's a nice play right here. Is this the play? I think this the play. So they trying to trigger from the field. We got twins to the field. Receivers pointing at the slot guy that's trying to trigger to identify a possible hot. But they bring the backer to the boundary. So they got one safety high now instead of two. Yep. But their middle backer drops. Oh, I like that little invert action. Okay. Nice route by Malachi. He has a reduced split, so he's a tight X to the bottom. He's right at the top of the numbers, and he runs just a dig at the sticks. Tony stays in the pocket, stands tall, because they hunting. They only bring four, because the end drops. So they only brought four, and they got home. But Tony stood tall through a strike. That was a really good throw right there. Really good throw. That's a big league throw. Tony made a throw this game that I haven't seen a quarterback make here at Virginia in a long time. I mean, he made a throw. That was a good throw right there. But he made a throw later in the game, and I'm gonna make sure I get to it so I can explain what took place. So we get the ball in the red zone. This is play 7. We run stretch to the boundary again, and they too damn fast. This time we blocked it better. Oh, I thought we blocked it better. I mean, it's a hat on hat. Don't get me wrong, but they just drove us. Damn. We tried to reach with our center, and they just drove him all the way back. So we had to run the hump, and Mike couldn't get up. That's why Mike got negative yards. He couldn't get up the field. So they sniffed that out. That was the first play in the red zone. We ran a stretch to the boundary. Well, we have them outnumbered, but they just bullied us. Damn, they pursuing. Tennessee, you got a fast defense. You got not only them jokers up front strong, like them two defensive tackles y'all got very strong. Now we come out in a trip set again. They followed us. They showing damn man-to-man. So we run quick pitch to the boundary. Kind of wish we would have ran into the field, but I don't think so. Here's the thing with Dez right here. Here's my thing, I think he thought with this formation. So with this formation, and I know you can't see it, we got trips to the boundary. We got the trip set again, but this time Malachi is on the same side of the trip. So we got four passing threats to the boundary. Basically, everybody that can get the ball is on the right side, is in the boundary, because the back is offset to the right. Majority of the time, you're not thinking that a corner is going to come over. You're thinking they just going to bump it, where they bring a safety down, bump a backer out, or try to just play zone and trap you. These jokers brought everybody over. They brought the corner over. They brought the back over. Like, they messed up. And I don't think he thought they would do that. And they basically had us beat. And when I tell you they played this, see, this is why I'll say about their defenders compared to our defenders yesterday. Their defenders attacked. Our defenders was catching and waiting. They were attacking. I mean, them jokers was downhill. They was like C ball, hit ball. We didn't have C ball, hit ball mentality, in my opinion, yesterday. And that was the first time I seen that. So they sniffed that out. So that was second down where they showed they was playing man. Because this series, they've been playing more one safety high, coming down. The one play with Malachi, the linebacker tried to drop late, but they were still playing more man. So we've seen two straight plays where they show man. No matter your formation, they're matching up. So this third down, Dez is like, all right, y'all going to match up. Let me see something. And they still playing matchup. Because when we sent Mike on a swing route to the field, a linebacker runs out with him. And we call the old reliable that Anaa used to do too, quarterback draw. Y'all remember when Anaa's here and we used to run quarterback draw? Hey man, it just ain't Anaa. Everybody runs this because they feel like Tony ain't athletic, so you might think you're going to hit the call. You know what I'm saying? Let me cut this music down a little bit. You probably think you're going to hit the call. And their dudes just beat our dudes. Like the hat on hat weren't working for us. We got them outnumbered. This was so sad about this play, man. Quarterback draw. This is so sad. In the box, they got 1, 2, 3, 4. They got 4 people. Really 5. Because, yeah, they got, well, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got 6 in the box. They got 6 in the box. Because Tony is the 7th. He's the ball carrier, right? So right now, the numbers, and then we send Mike out. So we send Mike out to track. So it's hat on the hat now. We got our right tackle on the end, our guard on the defensive tackle. Our center's not covered up, so he should be able to go to the backer. Then we got our left guard on the other tackle. Then we, you know what I'm saying? Then the left end, their end is on our left tackle. It's a hat on hat, essentially, right? Wrong. They twist. Our center. So here's the thing. The side they twist on ain't even an issue. Our left tackle just get beat on a quarterback draw, bro. Like,
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
What the heck? Bruh. Come on, bruh. Because look, just say if you control your block. Tony got a whole... seam in the B gap. Now, 6 is there, so he's going to have to, you know, see if he can make a miss. But you just never, at least let us see. He had no shot. So now everybody like, oh my God, why the hell are we running the quarterback drone, 3rd and 11? What the hell is going on? Oh, you suck as a coordinator. I understood why he tried to do it. You tried to catch him while he was, because they was showing man, and ain't nobody expecting Tony to run. There's some other plays I want to talk about. Because offensively, we just got our butts beat up front. We really did. I don't feel like play calling was the issue. Of course, every offensive coordinator could call a game better when you lose. You can. Like, I'm not going to just be naive. Like, oh, nothing he can do. It's just hard to do anything when you know up front, you struggling. You really are. We ran... various formations. We have various pre-snap motions to identify. It's a play that we ran, bro, that I was so impressed with. But, it got like a 1 yard gain. So if I could explain to you, hopefully you could picture it in your brain right quick. So we came out with 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, but we had Sacket Wood all the way split outside to the boundary. And he's off the line of scrimmage. Malachi is a slot. He's on the line of scrimmage. And then we send him in motion. So we bring him across the formation. Now it's trips to the field, and he's number three. So you know how a lot of times teams would throw a swing. You got three receivers to the field, and you would throw a swing to the back. And it's we call it a shield play, because all you're doing as a receiver, you're going out anticipating the guy coming towards you so you could block him. Because if you block him too quick, they'll get you for offensive pass interference now. So what Dez did is he brought Sacket across the formation. The back is to the field. So everybody's probably anticipating when they see how the receiver's coming to the field that the back's going to swing out. Well, I'm going to let it roll. I'm talking like y'all can see this. So the back goes out like he's about to catch a swing. Like it's a tight swing. But everybody's thinking the back's getting the ball because the linebacker immediately comes down and is like anticipating, oh, he getting the ball, oh, he getting the ball. Well, we had Malachi, who's with the tight X on the backside. He's running a mesh route. He's running flat. So what they essentially did was flip it. Malachi's actually the back, in air quotations. He's coming from the backside on a mesh route. And what they wanted was, because even the back who's confronted by the linebacker is allowing the Sam linebacker to engage him. So the linebacker think he's winning. So all he's doing is blocking for Malachi that's coming underneath on the mesh route. And we had it. Everybody's a hat on hat to the field. And this god dagum middle linebacker sees Malachi come and immediately drops down. You would think 3rd and 9, he would just get some depth, right? Especially with all that traffic to the field, especially with the back coming out the backfield going towards the flat. So you would think he would shade and just back up. Because if he would have shaded and back, if he would have just hesitated just 1 second, he would have got hit by his own teammate. And Malachi had a full sideline. It was like a wall waiting on him. I like that play design right there. But, you know, when you're looking at it on TV, you're like, damn, what the hell are we doing? Why are we throwing the 2 yard route? It's 3rd and 9. But when you look at it from the film, you're like, oh, that was a dope play. Because the guy chasing Malachi wasn't going to make the play. He would have stiff armed him. But I like that play design right there. And that'll be something that probably Dez probably got killed for. But it was a good idea. Maybe not on 3rd down, but I like the play design. What's another play that I had flagged that I could explain to y'all? Let's see. Damn, we had 30 minutes, man. I ain't trying to have this podcast be too long. All right, so here's the thing. Let's get right to it. Enough with the film, because y'all can't see the film, and I feel like y'all probably getting bored. You might have cut it off already. So here's the thing with the offense that I saw. Let me cut this music off, too. So here's what I saw with the offense. Seriously, here's what I saw. I saw that we struggled up front versus a very good defensive front. Very, very good defensive front. Probably the best front that we'll see all year, but it's hard to say that because people want to take that as we're making an excuse. Not making an excuse, just being honest. It's like everybody is being honest saying, hey, what are we doing on offense? Because when you're enthralled in the game, and I said this for years, I've been saying this for years to people when you talk about sports. A lot of times we always say, man, we ain't do nothing. We ain't make no adjustments. We ain't make no adjustments. And I always say, you only get credit for making adjustments when you're successful. You can make an adjustment and try something different because you're adjusting to what the defense is giving you or the offense is giving you. But if it's not successful, the casual fans are going to say, we ain't do nothing. We ain't even changed. We kept doing the same thing. You're really not. Formations may look the same, but you can execute things differently. And you can set things up. I'll give you a prime example. If y'all remember the first time we sent Washington with the quick jet motion and we tried to shovel pass to him and they thought it was a fumble, they blew it dead and said it was an incomplete pass. It was a good thing it was an incomplete pass because they sniffed that out, right? So when our offensive coordinator sucks, because people say he don't make adjustments. This is all I'm saying. The folks got to really relax when they say somebody ain't making adjustments or somebody ain't recognizing what's going on and ain't having a counter. Once we saw that, even though that was it was an incomplete pass, Dez identified that, oh, that's a natural flow because they're triggering. They're going to trigger to that. So let's see if we could use that against them. The big runs that we had, we were using that motion and snapping Malik as if we were going to shovel it to him, but we would give it to the back. Another adjustment we did, instead of the back man offset, we started putting him behind the quarterback. And I will say this, on the successful running plays we had, like the Kobe Pace long run and then Paris's touchdown, I'm going to give flowers, and this is not a knock to the guys up front, because you guys battled. You really did. And I know it's going to feel like everybody kicking y'all while you down, but I'm going to say this. It was hat on hat, and a lot of times they won the hat on hat matchups. On those long runs, our backs did what you would want in a hat on hat situation. Like when Tennessee versus our defense, this is what they did. They saw you had the same amount of numbers as them, or maybe just one more. And if you got one more, they know they run in the inside zone action, and they know one of those extra guys got to account for the quarterback, so we got you. Because we're going to hat on hat, and we're going to say our back is going to beat whoever comes free. If it's a free guy, or if it's a guy that beats somebody, I'm going to bet on my back. I will say this about Kobe Pace and Paris. They did that. On those long runs, it was guys getting beat. Paris's touchdown. Two guys. So the defensive tackle to the play side destroyed us. He was in the backfield right after Paris got the ball. And Paris put the speed burst on him and froze him. When he bounced to the outside, our left tackle probably was trying to watch the end up the field. So it looked like that he missed his block. And Paris made both of those dudes miss. And then Malachi did an exceptional job of blocking two different guys on that play. Yeah, they need to put Malachi need to be a blocker the way he was blocking. All right, Petty Hawk, don't we get it. And Kobe Pace went on his long run. Did D tackle again, got up the field. But the fact that we were running stretch zones, and we were stretching and reaching, we would appear that we were going to reach and we would just fire straight off. Now, it was backfiring because we was firing straight off and we were still going backwards. But it was just allowing the backs to really go downhill more. But that was only set up because, hold on, my wife trying to call and she don't know I'm recording right quick. I got to tell her I'm recording, but not so y'all can hear me. I got to text her. I don't edit nothing out. All right, here we go. So that's some of the adjustments I seen from Dez. Again, Dez still got work to do. Dez don't have to sweat equity for folks to give him the same grace as your give, Coach Rudd, on defense. The defense gave up 499, but it's a team game. And because the offense had a lot of three and outs and then their offense ran 51 plays in the first half, kudos to our defense. Do you know, it's rare that Tennessee only scores 7 points in one quarter. They scored 7 points in the first quarter. This was the offense that was the best scoring team in the first quarter. Last year, they scored 144 points in the first quarter. So to only give up 7 points in the first quarter, we got to the red zone, and I know everybody didn't like the play call in the first time we got in the red zone. Then we missed the damn field goal, so it was still 7-0. Defense, you did an exceptional job. You know what I'm saying? For what it's worth. This offense averaged 45 points. This offense averaged 500 yards. You held them under 500 yards. It was 499. But you held them under that. Offense, you didn't turn the ball over. You had two penalties. I said before this game would take place that we would struggle in that triangle area. between the guard and the center. I said that. I pointed out how big they were, pause, at defensive tackle and how they outweighed us and how that was going to be an issue. I didn't expect us to, when they got in their little cheetah formation, for them just to have a field day and run right by. And look, it's the first game of the year, bro. I'm not kicking him while he down. He could work on it. He could fix it. Just know you're going to be a mark this JMU game. They're going to come after you. They are. They're going to come after us at in the triangle area. Anytime they confronted our center, it seemed like we had a bad snap. Anytime somebody, it seemed like 9 times out of 10, when somebody was lined up directly over our center, it was a bad snap. It was low. Or if he was involved in the action, like if he had to reach somebody, if he had to fire off, it was a bad snap. I felt like Tony played a good game. When Tony had time, he threw darts. Probably two deep passes he'll probably want back. I know one on the third down. I think the Meek was going to pop open on a dig route. I do like when we go trips and leave a guy ISO away from the trips, because even the trip action, the route combinations, I like how they pop open. I feel like Tony can lock on to one guy a little too quickly, like the primary guy, because I feel like if he comes off the primary guy, like with Malachi two times, you had Sackett Wood one time on a bend route in the seam, and then you had the Meek on the dig. But other than that, you probably had to be on your primary because you ain't had time to really survey the field. And even Milton was struggling. A lot of times, dude was wide open. He ain't see him. So first game of the year, jitters. That happens. But, you know, offensively, man, I get why fans on the X app go in on OCs. I get it, bro. It seems very simple, right? From the outside looking in, all you got to do is this. Hindsight is 20/20. I could look at my plays, right, these plays right now, and rewind it 30 times and say, we should have did this. And y'all remember my first couple of years, I used to be like, yo, man, we should have did this. What the hell are they doing? And then as I started sitting down with OCs and really getting taught on what goes into calling plays and how you want to set it up and based off the coverage and based off the pre-snap, this is what we want. And then you got to look at the players, the Joes. I mean, I know you like X's and O's, but you need some Joes. So it's hand in hand. It really is. You know, once we had, like, this position was this group. So the offensive line room was a room that was last to develop when Bronco took the job. Remember, it was always, once we get the offensive line, we're going to be straight. Offensive line protect, we're going to be straight. And as the offensive line got better, the team got better. The results improved. We won 8 games. Now, granted, B. Perk is special. So he alleviated all that in the 8-win season. And then the next year, hell, y'all remember the Notre Dame game? He was still getting his ass hit. A lot. I remember interviewing him after the Notre Dame game. They was trying to strip the ball from him so much that all his fingers on his right hand was jammed and swollen. So even a 9-win season, he took his lumps, but you continue to grow. You continue to stay together. I remember the Notre Dame game when I got killed because we kept doing Max Pro because we wanted to protect Perk. So we did Max Pro. It could only send out 3 people, and they had more guys covered than we had that was available. Same thing with this game, right? So we take and put an H-back by either a right tackle or a left tackle to help on the edge, and then we take our back and help with the other edge. Guess what that does? That eliminates 2 passing threats. Guess how many they sending? 4. We got 6 people blocking 4. So if we got 6 people blocking 4, quarterback makes 7. No, that ain't 6. I'm tripping. That's 7. Yeah, that's 7 people. You got 5. Got the center, 2 guards, 2 tackles. That's 5. The H-back, 6. The back is 7. That's 7 people blocking 4 people. So if Musket is 8, that means you got 3 receiving threats. And they sending 4. So they send in four. How many more people they got? Seven. Seven versus three. Oh, it's like the Notre Dame game again, huh? Oh, hell no. Who you going to throw the ball to? Who? Hello? Is this thing on? People saying, man, they need to keep some help in. Put the ace back in. Okay. And then where the back at? Okay. All right. We got that covered. Man, what the hell are you doing? Ain't nobody open. Duh. you wanna know how the numbers game work? Just flip it. Let's talk about defense right now. Flip it. Flip it. Look at Tennessee. They going spread on us. They got 2-2. They had two receivers in the boundary. We'll have one dude within 9 yards of two guys. Guess what Tennessee would do? Throw it to the slot guy. Get 5-6 yards. Now, Coach Rudd is playing bend but don't break. He keeping everything in front. He want to see if Tennessee can methodically move the ball down the field. But with that said, hear what I'm saying. Numbers matter. I got you outnumbered 2-1, even in the boundary, because you ain't going to bring them out. Because I'm counting the box. If it's 5 or 6, I'm going to run at you. And if you bring an extra room, I got you on the outside because somebody one-on-one. The Eagles do it all the time in the NFL when they run the ball. They have your number because newsflash, most time if you run inside zone or you want to stretch, one of the ends not getting blocked. Why? Because the end is accounted for the quarterback. So just say, they could get the end could just take the running back and we could use a linebacker for the quarterback. They still got you because you have to wait and see why they going downhill. And a lot of times we would have a guy, our free guy, would hesitate. It was plays yesterday, and I feel like our linebackers, you got to see ball, hit ball. Understand what your assignment is. Understand your gap responsibility. Understand where your leverage is at. Like, understand what your job is and go. Like, it's a couple of times they run inside zone. They may be pulling somebody, but you can see, like, you got running back. Because even if he pulls it from the running back and the running back go on a pass route, you're taking the running back. So I feel like if you have running back and your gap is opening it up, go close it. And I feel like we waited a lot. And that allowed a lineman, a tandem block, basically come off Carter and bump up to you versus you forcing the issue and creating a wall. Because I feel like once you confront a runner and you make them shuffle, like come to balance, everybody can rally. Because that's what they were doing to our backs. They'll get immediate pressure, make our backs identify them and evade them. And that allows the cavalry to come. That was the difference that I saw between both defenses. I saw one defense that's attacking no matter what, and I saw another defense wait and see. That was the difference I saw with our defense this year compared to last year. Last year, it wasn't no wait and sees. It was see ball, hit ball, get downhill, go. And that comes with understanding what you're supposed to do and being confident in what you're doing. Kudos to Tennessee in their offensive formations of spreading you out, dictating like what you want to do. If you're going to show two safety high, we're going to run this. And they could have really just kept running at us. But I felt like we started blowing up and getting better, though. I really do. It was times we only sent four and we got home. But I really feel like Milton missed a lot of guys, too. They dropped a lot of balls. They really could have blew us out even worse. They had us. Then we started playing like invert covers on the outside, on the backside, which I really didn't care for. Well, here's the thing about thing. I ain't gonna say care for. I really feel like even our corners were hesitant in what they were seeing. So the first touchdown, I feel like our nickel, we're playing in some type of combo zone. We just passing things through. The inside guy ran a bang eight, meaning he ran right up the field, basically ran a post. You passed it off to the safety, which was Lex Long. Once he go inside you, that's Lex's responsibility. You got the middle backer dropping back. The back goes out. He swings out. You as a nickel that has a short zone area, he's your threat now. You have to come down. And the nickel kept backpedaling, and he pedaled into the paint. And that's all. And I was fourth down. That's all Melton needed because the corner was occupied by a deep dig route. So he had to go with the dig route. He couldn't pass at all because it was too deep. He had to turn and go. And it could have been cover four. I don't know what it could, but at the end of the day, I felt like in that situation, that's the only person I saw that probably was responsible for that guy just not being covered. I felt like a nickel pedaled too deep in that situation. Like, why are you going into the paint? You're too deep. Once the receiver crossed your face and you pass it off to Lex, I don't want, y'all notice I ain't saying people names when I say they had an error. I feel like right now, because you know the formation, pre-snap, back to my side. Pre-snap, it was twins, back offset to your side. You know, number one with two and three. So, boom, two come up the field, my responsibility. Two cross my face, I'm looking for work. Where's one? I can't see one, where's three? Because if I can't see one, that means he too deep. I need to go to three now. It was another time where we were running some type of zone and they came out in twins and they did a switch route between the one and the two, number one, like the number one receiver, number two receiver. And it was like a wheel route. Number one runs a post. One time we did the invert where it was no safety. And you got the nickel who has to go. It ain't, he don't have to go, but I felt like in that situation, the corner didn't get out fast enough and got caught in no man's land. And they caught that post route on us and we made the tackle. But I felt like if we get out fast, like we supposed to, and we play an invert, and I don't know if that was the safety's fault too, cause he looked like he got caught up a little too, close to the line of scrimmage. But if you have a quarter, you got to get out. Now, if you just playing some type of zone, we got to identify why threats are. Like when a route leaves our area, go look for work immediately. Like if number one does a post and number two is coming on a wheel route and he stop with the stop. That's yours. He in your area. The post is gone. He ain't yours no more. We'll drift towards the post. Like we got to make sure he go on post. Like, hell no. Nah. You see your defender right there in. You say in and you go right to the next threat. It's a couple of times we gave up those things. Like, we just didn't play with confidence. And we had a luxury of having, well, yeah, we had a luxury last year of having guys that knew each other for a year. Like, Cohen is a guy that got supplemented from playing safety to playing corner. And Cohen did a good job playing corner. He did. He did a good job yesterday playing corner. Shout out to Cohen. We got two transfers. And I thought overall, I felt like you guys just played a little soft and we wasn't sure with ourselves and our assignments. All that could be fixed. Coach Rudd talked about that. But the one thing you got to do this game, fellas, you got to look yourself in the mirror and just be like, when it's man on man, I gotta tighten up my chin strap and go. Sometimes you're going to run into an athlete that's just stronger than you. Got more dog than you. But you just got to keep working to make sure that dog don't keep biting you. We got bit up front. We lost up front on both sides. Like, as strong as our defensive line is, we couldn't get home with four. Their offensive line was good. They were good, bro. And y'all kept fighting. And y'all won some one-on-one reps. Y'all look good. I mean, look, man, you turn them. Let me share a stat with y'all that our defense did, which you got to applaud them. They made Tennessee four straight possessions. Downs, punt, punt, punt. Four plays, three plays, six plays, five plays. They did that to that offense in the first half. After the missed field goal, they made them punt. It doesn't help that we punt, miss field goal, punt, 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 punt. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We had six straight possessions. Out of those six possessions, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of those six possessions were three and outs. The missed field goal, we had seven plays for just 18 yards because it was a short field. because of the what was it? Because of the oh yeah, because of the downs. They went for it on fourth and one. And Lex Long did a good job of shoot. Lex Long on that fourth down, see ball and hit ball. He see ball. Go to that fourth down when we got the turnover of downs. Their second possession in the first quarter. Lex saw ball, hit ball. He shot that gap and hit that bat. If he hesitates and say, ooh, let me just wait and see what he's going to do, they already got the first down. See ball, hit ball. And catch the ball too, Lex. You my dog. That's why I'm saying his name, because Lex my dog. Catch the ball, Lex. You had a pick. I mean, I think that was third down, but still, I want you to get the stat, bro. Josh Ahearn, you dropped one too. Reward yourself, man. When you savvy and you bait a quarterback to make a throw and you get a great break, reward yourself. This is not criticizing you. I want you to reap the reward, bro. I really do. But I saw adjustments by Dez. If anybody don't believe me, you can leave me a comment on the X app. Leave me a comment on the Saber or any message board if I a member of it and I can see it. And I can show you like before and after. I can show you what he did this series and then how he came back this series and adjusted. But I know we in the numbers and a result type. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the stats say? Everything, stats don't tell you everything, because looking at the stats, you would say Coach Rudd and the defense trash can juice, right? They not. This defense ain't trash can juice. I know they gave up 499. They ain't trash can juice. They really not. You look at our offense, we went through for 90 yards. Oh, trash can juice. I like Tony. Hopefully Tony's injury is not too serious. I like AC as well. Now with AC, you know it's going to be some, he going to be out that thing chucking and jucking. He could be like Matt Johns used to be out that thing, swerving. But he athletic and he confident. So we'll have to wait and see what Tony's situation is. OA and his knees, I don't know what his situation is. So you know how athletic program is, man. They keep injuries on a hush-hush, and I can't tell you nothing. You ain't getting me in trouble. I ain't losing my access. Just give y'all exclusive. Exclusive don't get you nowhere unless... Even if I was in the NFL doing stuff, I don't break news. I just discuss it. I don't break news. I break it down. That's my motto. I don't break the news. I just break down the news. Once it come out, we going to break it down. I ain't trying to be first. I'm trying to be right. But yeah, man, that's all I got to say. Salute to everybody that, stayed on and listened to this. I didn't want to be this, kicking while they down episode. Also ain't out here to coddle nobody. So I ain't making excuses for nobody. I'm just sharing my opinion. I'm not saying you're wrong. If you feel like our OC ain't worth a damn and he ain't good, that's your prerogative, bro. Like, that's your opinion. I respect your opinion. Just because I disagree with your opinion doesn't mean I respect your opinion. It's not about right or wrong. We're all sharing our opinion, and then we try to show tangible data that backs up our opinion, correct? So a lot of folks always feel like, man, you always got to be right. I ain't trying to be right. I'm just trying to drive home my stance. That's it. If it's combative, my bad. You know, but nobody's trying to. I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to share information with you. I ain't one of the people that say, well, I hope I'm wrong. If I'm trying to be like, if I tell you I'm right, damn it, I'm right. If I tell you something going to happen, I ain't going to never say, I hope I'm wrong, though. For what? Why would you hope you wrong? Never, never, never lost. So that's an hour, man. That's long enough, man. An hour recap is long enough. I appreciate y'all, man. If you listen to this an hour straight, thank you very much. You might be cutting the grass. You might be driving. Whatever you're doing, I appreciate everybody that tunes in to the show. Make sure, man, y'all share the show, man, on the X app. Make sure you share it on Facebook. I'm on TikTok and stuff now, too, dog, if y'all ain't know. You know what I'm saying? But Make sure y'all share this, man. Go to Believe Network. Search the Ball Hawk Show. Share the podcast. We here. You feel me? And I'm out of here. Petty Hawk was going to rant, but I got so serious that, yeah, man, you hogged the damn show. You think you slick. That's okay. That's okay. I'm taking over the jam. You preview, though. Believe that. Nah, I can't let you take over no preview, bro. We got to be professional because their fan base is in here and they want to hear how we talk. I don't care what James Madison want, fool. I'm the president of this here podcast. You like what I did there? Yeah, that was nice. Tennessee, got you a good squad, man. You know, hopefully y'all, you know, you guys continue to thrive and do well. Appreciate the gesture before the game as well. And, yeah, man, it's the Ball Hawk Show. We out of here. Oh!
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.